VolitionRx, a multinational epigenetics company revolutionizing cancer diagnosis with the development of simple, easy-to-use, cost-effective blood tests involving a range of cancers and other diseases. Volition's clinical trials in human health have shown promising results in detecting several cancer types, including colorectal, lung, and a variety of bloodborne cancers. VolitionRx. Web address, volition.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The future of pandemics. The Economist Impact is looking at the Global Health Security Index, looking forward. And I welcome Michael Patera. He is Senior Manager, Policy and Insights at Economist Impact. This is part of the Economist Group organization about news and what to do with it. Well, this is data about what we know right now about how countries, how continents are dealing with pandemics in the future. Michael, a very good evening to you. What is the mission statement of the Global Health Security Impact? You've done it now, 2019-2021. What is your intention? Good evening.
Yeah, thank you for having me, John. And it's a great question. So the Global Health Security Index set out to really understand the full scope of epidemic and pandemic preparedness in nearly every country in the world. The index covers 195 countries, so we cover every region of the world. And what we wanted to do with this index is make this first comprehensive assessment of countries' capacities. So what is the inventory of tools that they have in their toolkit that we know that we need to be able to respond to biological threats? So that includes naturally occurring diseases like COVID-19 and the current pandemic we're experiencing, but also looking at preparedness for other types of threats, whether they be deliberate, so thinking about things like a bioterrorism attack, or accidental, something leaking out of a lab. So this index really set out to take a measurement of countries, where they stand across all the different capacities that they might need to deploy in times of a crisis, and understand which they have and which they don't have, so that we can inform government leaders and other stakeholders, you know, what the gaps are and how they can go about filling them to ensure that their population is more secure in the face of an outbreak.
I understand from you that the first year you did this was 2019. Quite prescient of you, Michael, to do this the year before the pandemic struck. What did you discover in 2019 that has changed in 2021, if anything?
We released the first index in October of 2019, just a few months before the first COVID case. And back when we released that study, the first iteration of this project, we found that no country was fully prepared for a pandemic or epidemic. And unfortunately, 2 years later, we find that that still holds, that the world remains dangerously unprepared to meet future health emergencies. I think that'll be no surprise to anyone who's been paying attention to the news over the past 2 years. There's a lot of deficits in our ability to respond to a crisis of this magnitude. And unfortunately, when looking at the data, that story generally holds 2 years later. Although I will note that in the interim, some countries have really built some great new capacities during the COVID pandemic to respond. So when we think about the groups of contact tracers, the expansion of testing in many countries to meet the moment, there has been some good progress there. But at an overall level, when thinking about future threats, we still remain quite unprepared.
The categories are overall, that's a blend of all, but the important categories are prevent, detect, respond, health, norms, and risk. I want to go to detect because the next and the next and the next will depend upon that. When I cast up your map, what I find is that, strikingly, the same suspects rounding up show as good detection places. 80 to 100 is your highest grade. That would be the U.S., Australia, parts of Western Europe, and significant parts of Scandinavia. No surprises to me. The disappointment is that where this pandemic looks to have originated and where previous pandemics such as SARS-1 or the bird flu have originated are East Asia and South Asia, and I do not see any progress there. Is there progress since 2019?
Yeah, I would say there is some progress in this area. And as you rightfully pointed out, detection and surveillance is a really critical part of identifying an outbreak early on so that we can take actions to contain it and prevent it from spreading. I would note, you know, an outbreak can happen anywhere in the world, so it's critical that all regions of the world, all countries, build strong detection systems, because we just don't know where the next disease might spring up. And in this case, you know, looking around the world, Thailand actually ranks number one in this category. They have a really, really robust surveillance system and have responded well to COVID, thanks in part to that. So we see countries all over the world, including in Asia, who have robust surveillance systems and who have seen improvements in that over the past few years as well.
And we hope that that continues. Are they investing in it? Is that why they're robust? Can you conclude from where the money is?
Yeah, it's a great question. So what we've seen is some countries have really made very specific investments in improving their epidemic preparedness. Thailand's an example, South Korea as well. After their experience with MERS back in 2015, they've totally rearranged the way that they're approaching pandemic preparedness, made a lot of investments. And when we look at how well they've handled COVID, we can see that those investments have paid off. I will say, though, one of the major findings of this study is that across the board, financing for long-term preparedness, it remains really weak. This is something we found in the 2019 study, and we found again in 2021. Even though countries have spent so much money in responding to COVID, we really see a lack of long-term investment to make sure these capacities, so thinking again about the contact tracers, the laboratories running tests, that those capacities remain for the next epidemic or the next pandemic as well. So we see a lack of dedicated funding for those capacities to remain durable in the long term.
Response time. And now here is a lot of disappointment as well throughout the world, although the usual suspects are doing well in response time. The categories that the Economist Impact are using: emergency preparedness, exercising response plans, emergency response, linking public health and security, risk communication, access to communications infrastructure, trade and travel restrictions. Michael, I would say that this is a moving story, a work in progress. We see right now there's alarm again on Omicron, and some of the same categories are being applied, you know, work from home or travel restrictions, countries that are identified on the red list or closing borders. We're going through the same thing all over again. Is that a surprise? Is that a disappointment given the learning we've had this last year?
Yeah, one of the things we really set out to measure with this index and those indicators you measured is are all of the plans and coordination in place for countries, so when something does happen that they can mobilize quickly? And one of the things that the index doesn't measure and can't measure is whether or not countries will choose to use that and when they'll choose to use it and how successful that will be. So we're looking to see how well they're planning, how well coordinated they are to respond. And one of the things we found that between the 2019 study and this study, only two additional countries, bringing us to a total of 69 countries out of the 195 we cover, have overarching response plans in place to deal with diseases with epidemic and pandemic potential. So the number of countries with these plans in place to know how they can respond to any threat still is quite low. So there's a lot of room for improvement there.
How is this being used? To your knowledge, is the United States, Great Britain, to name two that are much in the news about vaccines, about viruses, are they taking these statistics to heart and using them in order to guide funding?
Yeah, we sure hope so. That the purpose of this index was to inform all of the different stakeholders about where gaps are in order to prioritize where to make investments. So governments are certainly users of this tool. With this inventory of capacities, they can see what they have in place and what they don't, see what other countries are doing so they can learn from them and make those targeted investments. But this is also out there for philanthropies and foundations and civil society to understand where they can also support and make investments to strengthen health security. So we see a wide range of actors who can use this data to inform their understanding of countries' toolkits and understand where to invest to strengthen health security in each of those countries.
Let's have a moment of levity, Michael, just a moment. If we were grading these countries on the basis of how they've done since 2019, is everybody an F? Do we give anybody a D, Michael, given what you've studied?
Yeah, I wouldn't say everybody gets an F. Quite a few countries do, but we've seen some success stories as well. As I was mentioning earlier, South Korea, Thailand have responded quite well, and other countries as well. If you look at Angola and Rwanda, they don't score in the top ranks in the index, but their scores have increased since 2019, and they've had fairly good responses to COVID. So there are a lot of success stories as well, even though overall countries still remain quite unprepared.
Michael Patera, he is from the Economist Impact. That's the organization that is compiling. This is data management. This is the 21st century. The little data doesn't lie is what my old football coach would have said. The little black flickers don't, the movies don't die, and the data doesn't lie. Michael is a senior manager, policy and insights at Economist Impact. I recommend this chart and this graphic as a place to begin. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.